The Game 2 Eastern Conference Final Edition of Celtics Tonight, presented by Momcast, continues from the Garden. Our favorite part of the night, our conversation with the head coach, Brad Stevens. People here, Max and I were discussing this a few minutes ago, people here, you say, we have a lot of room for improvement after a game like that, and I think that's hard for an average fan to see. Well, first of all, improvement aside, we'll get to it. Did you not think of Sunday as one of the better performances all year of this group, all things considered, maybe that March 10th group after until now?
Yeah. I mean, I thought so clearly. I think you're just kind of in the moment of understanding that there's another game to be played right around the corner, and you don't really get too caught up in what just happened. I think that we did a lot of good things, and we did them with great energy. Sometimes that makes up for other things. Some of our coverages weren't perfect, but we always came hard. We always came with two hands up. We always did everything that we could to make the next pass tough. Wasn't perfect, but, you know, and to be honest, you know, I think we're pretty alert to the fact that we're going to have to do those things better tonight.
Where must the improvement lie then?
I just think being more solid. When do we double? When do we not? Again, not ever letting up on the pressure, because I think the ball pressure is really important in this series. It is in every series, but you go back to game two of the Philly series in the first half, and we were just letting them pass it around the perimeter like we weren't there, and they were scoring at will. If it feels like they're that comfortable, then we're going to be in trouble. And so hopefully we learn from that and can be a little bit better tonight than we were in game two of that series and play more like we did in game one.
All right, you said the last 2 days you're expecting, and this is your quote, a heavyweight punch from them tonight. I think most people who've watched the NBA at all would agree with that, but when you say it, what does that look like to you? Does that mean making more shots? Is them being more physical, more aggressive? When you say you're expecting a heavyweight punch, what are you thinking of when you say it?
Well, I think in coaching, you're always hopeful you make shots, but at the end of the day, you don't really worry too much about that. If whatever side you're on, you're just trying to get the best shots that you can. I expect LeBron especially to be very aggressive driving the ball versus whatever the matchup is. We know that it's one of the reasons why we're switching is because, you know, we have so many guys that are alike. And, you know, so we'll have a lot of different bodies on them at a lot of different times. We expect them to be very aggressive driving. Depending on the way that they decide to start, you know, they may be more of a bigger lineup where they post and really go to the glass, or they may be still skilled like they were in the last game. But the bottom line is you got to take away the tendencies of the other guys. And we talked about it before game one. And the key stat that just jumps out at me through the first two rounds is 84 points a game by the other guys against Toronto and 60 against Indiana.
Which kind of brings me to this. I deliberately, not that you would have noticed, but we didn't talk about LeBron at all before game one. I wanted to do that deliberately just because of the reason you just mentioned and the points and all the things that those guys have done. My only LeBron thing is this. When you think of his game, I always think of the word downhill. And he wasn't able to really go downhill as hard as he likes to in game one. Do the 28 points a game, the 34 in the playoffs, do those sometimes take a backseat when you think about where he does the most damage and how he affects games? Do the points and the scoring take a backseat to the 9 or 10 assists, which always seem to be so strategically placed?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, as you play against him so much and you learn is that when he gets downhill, he's unstoppable. And so if that happens in transition, if that happens in the half court because he gets ahead of steam, and if that happens in the low post just because he overpowers whoever is guarding him, then you're in trouble. And you're either going to give up layups or open threes to the other guys or rebounds because you're all leaving to try to contest LeBron at the rim. The key is to try to not let that momentum happen, not let him get to the point where he is attacking you and putting you on your heels. And it's easier said than done again. There are going to be times when he does, and you tip your hat, you move on. You just want to make him exert as much energy as possible.
The physicality and athleticism, I think, overwhelms people when they see it. It has been 15 years of him in this league. I think people got a little glimpse after the game when he addressed the media. I don't know if this crossed your path or not. He was asked about that sequence early in the fourth quarter, and he was able to, almost like Rain Man, recite the first 90 seconds without any cues or whatever. He literally was able to play the game back in his head and give about a 45-second answer. And I thought it was a great glimpse of something Max and I have talked about for years, which I am going to phrase this way. How much is just pure basketball IQ a part of what makes LeBron LeBron?
Well, I think there's basketball IQ, and then there's elite basketball IQ.
Yeah.
He's elite. I mean, he's in the top, you know, however percent of all time in that regard. And, you know, he studies it, he thinks it. You know, when we change a coverage, you can hear him talking through the coverage. And that's why one of the things I don't think you can do is give him a steady diet of any one look, because, you know, eventually he picks that apart and it's just the way that it goes. But he's elite. Again, we just have to make it as hard as we can on him and make sure we guard everybody else.
That's the head coach. Speaking of basketball IQ, how much do you enjoy? And this time of year, obviously time is not as loose as it is. There's so many more commitments. But how much do you enjoy, from a basketball IQ coaching standpoint, spending time with Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy during these series?
I really enjoy it. I look forward to those meetings every game. And Doris Burke is in there too. She's incredible and very, very, very insightful as well. And so I'd rather ask them questions, but what happens is they have to get content for the game. And so I end up just talking too much. But I'd much prefer to just sit down and ask them questions.
See, I just use their content to get content for myself.
Yep.
See, it's all how you turn it around.
Good stuff.
Game two next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.